Blog Talk Radio.
It's getting out of hand, Israel. It's just too much fighting amongst our people.
Too much fighting. Yes, it is.
We gotta come together.
Come together.
We gotta stick together.
Stick together.
To be that nation that the Most High called us to be. Yeah.
Things are getting out of hand. So much going on. And I'm praying for the day that we all get along, Israel. See, we've got to come together and worship the Most High. There's no need to hate each other, cause we disagree sometimes. We're a family.
We gotta come fighting. Israel, we're one.
And we're supposed to be coming together.
We're supposed to be.
Oh yeah.
Israel, we're one.
We all get frustrated under all this pressure. And every family fights sometimes, but they always stick together. Yes, they do, that's what they do, yeah. I'm willing to forgive you, can you do the same? Oh. Cause I can't put this all on you, I'll take some of the blame. Like I said before, we're a family.
We gotta stop this.
It's family.
Israel, we'll
stick together. Maybe I could have been just a little more humble.
We're supposed to be.
And maybe I can find a better way to say what I need to say. About the rebellious ones,
oh, no.
But the ones trying to do right. Why hurt them all the time when they're trying to live right? Cause the Bible says if you offend one of these little ones that believe in him, you'd be better off with a millstone all around your neck and drowned in the sea. You don't wanna be that one.
Let's stop this fighting, y'all, and get together, alright? Shalom.
Here we go again, Israel.
Set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived. And stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened to your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I the Lord have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord.
I think about all he's done, how he changed my life and made it so much better. I'm just in awe, it's so amazing, yeah, yeah. scripture said it was gonna get worse. If you do this righteous act, I won't rehearse it.
Shabbat shalom, shabbat shalom, and welcome back. Welcome back to the Biblical Hebrews of the Bible, which is sponsored by Blog Talk Radio. I'm your sister, your host, as well as your servant, Georgia Johnson. Today, family, is December 28, 2013. Once again, we're getting ready to get back into our Father's Word. We're going to do part two of the virginity deception. Is it really a deception? Speaking of Joseph and Mary. So we have titled our lesson, The Virginity Deception, Joseph and Mary. Now, I pray that everyone has had the opportunity to go back and listen to lesson one, okay, because we broke in some things just with words in the English, and you're going to see how more things through the translated English words and how our book, our Hebrew manuscripts were placed together within the English Bible, how it caused confusion for our people, caused a lot of confusion. So we're going to see about that today. We're going to go into some information. We're going to go through breaking down the scriptures. We're going to be in Luke as well as in the book of Matthew because those both concern the birth of Yahushua. So we need to look at that. But before we get started, I just want to welcome everyone. Welcome, 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 family. And the lost sheep of the house of Israel that is spoken of in scriptures as Gentiles or strangers, sojourners, aliens, the ones who didn't have the full truth. They were enemies to the children of Israel, or shall I say to the children who were still keeping the laws and covenants of the Most High. They were under the scribes and Pharisees, their teachings of the flesh. So they didn't understand when Yahushua was on the earth proclaiming his truth. So they were known by our own brethren, okay, as Gentiles. Sometimes they call them Romans. You know, if they had it in there, they'd call them Americans too. Caucasian Americans, European Americans, they call them the ones, I should say, I'm saying it backwards, actually. The ones were scattered amongst, you know, they're scattered, they're not scattered, they transported themselves everywhere. But we're right in the midst of them. But the lost sheep of the house of Israel was scattered across the four corners of the earth. So you may be living among Philippines, but you are still a Hebrew living in the land of the Philippines. So I just welcome everyone who is seeking the Father's word, his truth, and we're going to get to that. Before we get started, I ask everyone to pray with me. Let's give thanks to our Father, Yahuwah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come, regardless of what four corners of the earth our ancestors were scattered. We come to give you thanks and praise, Father, for your word is powerful, and it cuts like a two-edged sword. Father, we know that our people, through disobedience, were scattered, but your word says we will be regathered, that Yahushua would not lose one. And we also know all Israel is not of Israel. Father, you have given us the gift of understanding dark sayings and mysteries that are located within the English Bible that your children are able to understand through the set-apart spirit. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection of Yahushua, who sits at your right hand, and the power, the spirit, the comforter is now with us. Father, we ask that through that power, through that spirit, those who are seeking your truth can hear it. Those who know your truth and want to get more riches, that their set-apart spirit is enriched. And, Father, that I may be used as a vessel to speak your words, give the spiritual understandings so that your children can hear. They can hear. They can understand. And, Father, we thank you and we praise you for the protection of your children who seek your face. We thank you and we praise you for the mercy and grace that is given to all, including the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Father, your word is so beautiful to us, so beautiful. We just want to say hallelujah in Yahushua's set-apart name. We love you, Father. To add to this, family, I want to read one thing more for you, and I'm going to give everybody the link where I'm reading from. This is taken from Psalms 138. There's eight verses in there. One of our dear sisters listed this particular scripture on our website, and I just thought it was so beautiful. I wanted to read it for everyone before we get started in the lesson. And this is taken out of the book of Psalms. This is chapter 138. I'm going to begin at verse 1. Everybody open up, please. I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship towards thy set-apart temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my spirit. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Yahuwah, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of Yahuwah, for great is the glory of Yahuwah. Though Yahuwah be high, yet he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of my enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. Yahuwah will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Yahuwah, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Family, that's 138, chapter 138, the book of Psalms. I just want to add that. Somebody might have needed to hear it, okay? I know I did when I received it. Now let's go forward. Let us go forward. Family, if you guys have been keeping up, we've been going through a lot of spiritual breakdown. And it's necessary because our Father, as well as Yahushua, are spirits. And those who were born again, or shall I say those who were descended from above and that were placed into a vessel, into their mother's womb, okay? The Father already knew us. He already knew us. He placed us there. We have to go by the Spirit when getting the understanding of the truth. Like I've been telling everybody, I went various places, and I listened to various lessons. Had a lot of good points in these lessons concerning the virginity birth. But every single time where the error was made was not understanding through the Spirit and not properly breaking down these words, which you could say the Father told everyone, all his children, when you go to looking to the Father's word to get understanding, first you seek him because he's going to give that increase. But also, precept must be on precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And then we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word. Many times many of us can't rightly divide the word because we're not operating out the Spirit. We have not sought Yahuwah. We are not asking him to go before us, lead us, and direct us to his truth. That's the error that I'm finding. Now, I don't know what you're finding out there, but I know what I see. I can hear it. I can, even before I go look it up, I already know where the error is. That's what we're going to be breaking down today. Okay, I want to get started. I don't want to digress. I want to keep going forward, but I did want to state that. Family, I want to give you just a little bit of information before we get into Luke and Matthew. I don't even know if I want to do this. I'll try it. When I say that, I mean, I don't know if I want to give you any more leaks, but I really want to give you this one. So I'm going to see if my computer doesn't freeze. I want to give everybody the link where I'm reading from, and let's see if it works. I don't know. Okay. Every time I get ready to get on this Black Talk Radio, it seems like I have major problems. But I'm giving everybody a link. Go ahead and open it up. The link that I just gave everyone is taken from Wikipedia, and it concerns the virgin birth of Yahushua. Okay? So go ahead and open that link up. I want to show you guys something really quick before we get started here. Now, I'm going to be reading here and there just to get the necessary points that I want to bring out to you. But it tells us, now this is taken from Wikipedia, so this is taken from the Gentiles, the Goyim. This is their information. Here's what they say. Let's pay attention. It says, the virgin birth of Yahushua is the belief that Yahushua was conceived in the womb of his mother Mary by the set-apart Spirit and born while Mary was yet a virgin. The New Testament references are Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. The virgin birth is not mentioned in the, they put Paulinian letters. Paul didn't mention it. He didn't mention no virgin birth is what they're saying. Nor is it mentioned in the Gospel of Mark or John. Okay? The particular way that Yahushua was born, which we're talking about a virgin birth, but it wasn't mentioned in Mark, John, or even Paul's letters. Paul wrote a lot of the New Covenant. Wouldn't you find that interesting? Just something to ponder, okay? But they tell you here. I mean, we know it. We know it that virgin birth is not mentioned anywhere else, but where many are being deceived into thinking that in the book of Matthew and Luke, that's talking about a virgin birth because the books were out of order and the understanding for the words are taking to the flesh. When you take things to the flesh and think of things in a term, the terminology that you in 2013 understand, the word gets perverted. The word gets perverted, and many are not studying to show themselves approved. So it tells us. It's not mentioned in the book of the virginity birth is not mentioned in Paul's writings. It's not mentioned in the Gospels of Mark or John. The virgin birth was universally accepted in the Christian church by the second century, was enshrined in the Apostles' Creed, and accepted for several minor sects, was not seriously challenged until the 18th century. And remains a basic article of belief in the Roman Catholic, the Orthodox, and most Protestant churches. Muslims also accept the virgin birth of Yahushua. See, things that are accepted into the world loves its own. The world loves lies because the world is not of the truth of our Father. those who have an ear will hear what I'm saying, what we're reading, and what we will read. If you love the truth, you have to let go. Come as children to the Word. Forget all the lies of the world that you've learned. When we get to reading this, allow the Father's Spirit to flow. Any other way, you'll be in error. I keep telling you guys this. Now, let me just go somewhere with you guys. I'm going to go to Colossians 1st chapter. Go ahead and open it up. I'm not going to open it up because, like I said, my computer really sticks, and I'll probably be using my handheld scriptures to do most of this because I don't want to take a chance on my computer sticking. Colossians chapter 1. Let's read. Paul, an apostle of Yahushua by the will of our Father Yahuwah, and Timotheus, our brother. Now remember, Paul didn't mention, according to everyone who really reads it, he didn't talk about the virginity birth. Let's see what he says. Verse 2, he's speaking to the saints and the faithful brethren, which means people, the Hebrews, in Yahushua, which are at Colossia. Grace be unto you and peace from Yahuwah our Father and our brethren, future King and Redeemer, Yahushua. We give thanks to Yahuwah, the Father of Yahushua, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Yahushua and the love which ye have to all the saints. And the saints are the Hebrews. Don't get it twisted. I'm not talking about Christianity. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye before in the word of truth of the gospel. Oh, boy, we got people coming in. I hope that my dog doesn't start barking, family. It says in verse 6, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of Yahuwah in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Yahushua, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of Yahushua, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in knowledge of the Father Yahuwah, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto Yahuwah, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He's talking about the northern and southern kingdom. That's what he's talking about. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible Father, the firstborn of every creature. He was the Word in the beginning, family. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, or as we say, the body is the assembly, is the church. So we have Yahushua as that head of his people. There's no man there. Get out the flesh. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Right? Yahushua, and then man, which is the brethren, the assembly, every man, every woman. It's all talking about the people. Remember, there's only one mediator between the people and the Father, and that's that man, Yahushua. It says in verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning. He was the Word, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his tribulation, I'm going to call it. I'm not saying cross because there is no cross. He was hung on a tree. Go look it up. By him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you set apart and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the Scriptures, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, a little bit more family, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Yahushua in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the assembly, whereof I am made minister according to the dispensation of our Father Yahuwah, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of Yahuwah, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. I want to read that again. I want to remember, hey, why did he mention the virgin birth if there is a virgin birth? If there is a woman, an earth woman of a Hebrew that miraculously got impregnated, and according to the way Christianity in the world teaches, through an angel, some Hebrew Israelites, let's say it for what it is. Why didn't Paul mention all this? You know, Paul's not going to say that because he already knows how the Father felt about Genesis 6. He already knows that was an abomination. That was an abomination to our Father. We were told to stay away from that creation. Why would he have his son come that way? Just something to think on. But see, Paul knew this. Paul wasn't right about no virginity birth. Not in the sense that many believe that this woman who had never had sex, now she is conceived of an angel, basically, by an angel, to produce Yahushua. I don't think I have to remind anyone, but you can't say, see, this is new, because it has already been of old, which means, do you see anybody around here right now, 2013, you can go back to 1999, you can go back to 1654, you can go to 511 B.C. You can go to all these times in this earth age. Have you ever have known about anyone claiming that they were pregnant by an angel? Sent from the Most High. Can't do it. There's nothing new under the sun is what we're telling you. Because, see, Paul would have said something. So would of the forefathers who wrote to us in the Scriptures. They would have told our brother and would have told us. But it's not mentioned in any of the book. And Paul wrote the majority of the New Covenant. He wrote it. Why wasn't it mentioned, family? I just want you guys to understand that. Now, let's read back, because I want you to understand this, because I'm going to be talking about this quite a bit. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister, according to who? Well, to the dispensation of our Father Yahuwah. Paul was made a minister, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of Yahuwah, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifested to his saints, to whom Yahuwah would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Yahushua in you, the hope of glory. You're not going to understand that if you don't understand the Spirit. He was the Word in the beginning. He was the Word in the beginning. He was the Word in the beginning. Okay? He was this earthly vessel, which is a body. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, the shedding of his blood, because he was in a flesh body, we have the remittance of our sins. And we have now the veil torn, and the northern and southern kingdom can come back together, and we all, through Yahushua, can have a direct link with our Father Yahuwah, because there is only one mediator, that man, Yahushua, between the Father and his people. And through this dispensation of the Most High, Paul was made a minister. But he was made a minister for what? So that he can give us the truth, the understanding. And he did not say a virgin birth. He did not say that this angel came and impregnated Mary. Why do you believe that? Why do you believe that? He says, to whom Yahuwah would make known what is the riches of the glory of his, of the, this mystery among the Gentiles. What Gentiles? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, who Yahushua came for, which is Yahushua in you, because the Comforter now is amongst us, in us. He dwells within us. The hope of glory. 28, whom we preach, warning every man, which means all the Hebrews, and teaching every man, all the Hebrews, in all wisdom, that we may present every man, which is all the Hebrews, the assembly, the church, the daughters of Zion, Israel, both the northern and southern kingdom, perfect in Yahushua. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Because remember, Damascus, right? Yahushua was revealed to Paul, stopped him dead in his tracks. Now, why would not Paul write about a virgin birth? We need to think on that, you know, because I don't think people really be thinking. I'm going to go over these scriptures because I know somebody got to hear it. But, you see, common sense things like that just seems like, it never passes anybody's thought. When our Father lets us know in his word, you ain't going to see nothing new. And you can go through scriptures, and you're not going to hear about a woman of the Hebrews. And I'm going to say it like that because some want to say Genesis 6 is the Hebrew woman, and it's not. You're never going to hear about a Hebrew woman getting divinely impregnated by an angel. You're not going to hear about it, family. You have believed in the fables and the mythology and the planned lies that were put before you, because we're warned. We're warned in Judges 2. These nations are going to stay right here, not of the Hebrews, but these other nations who we didn't get off our land, the promised land, they'll be right there. There'll be thorns in your side. They're there to prove you, to see if you're going to listen to our Heavenly Father as our forefathers did, or listen to them when they give you nonsense about a virgin birth. And they've been working hard at it. They've been working. They've had a lot of years to impound that into our head through slavery. I mean, look at it. We didn't even know we were the people. Come on now. Do you not think it's possible that maybe, because we got to look at it, the canonical books, they call them the four, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that maybe they should have put them in a different order? If we're really to get the Father's truth, well, they didn't have the Father's truth, but they at least read and understood. They knew what was up, so they flipped everything around so that you can't get it. And our Father lets us know, my children are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We're destroyed as a people, as a nation. Now, when we bring up this information the correct way, with spiritual understanding, allowing the Father set apart Spirit to flow through us to give that understanding, I pray that you're one of those who are at least seeking the Father's face if you don't understand. But we know some will never accept the truth, Okay? They will never study to show themselves approved. We go to 1 Timothy chapter 1 real quick. I want to hit there, too, before I get started. I got to go there. Now, once again, Paul, an apostle of Yahushua by the commandment of Yahuwah, our Savior, and Yahushua, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from Yahuwah, our Father, and Yahushua, our Redeemer. As I besought thee to abide still in Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. You remember, our people were scattered among the heathens. They had picked up a lot of nonsense. They got into worshiping idols and all kind of things. Paul says he's instructing that when he went out to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions, rather than edify, righteously edify, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, have turned aside into vain jangling, designed to be teachers of the law. Talking about the scribes and Pharisees, and they do it for profit, right? Understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the unrighteous and for the sinner, for the unset apart and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. I'm at verse 10. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, with all the other nations, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel, blessed Father Yahuwah, which has committed to my trust. And I thank Yahushua, our Redeemer, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of Yahushua was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Yahushua. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Yahushua came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Remember, he came into this world. Yahushua was the word in the beginning, but he had to have a body. He was a spirit. When we get to his virginity birth, if you don't remember what we're reading right now, don't go falling after some fable or some other doctrine. Let's read. Paul says he was the chief sinner. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. In me first Yahushua might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. If Paul is telling you that, and you've made a mistake, or you've learned a different doctrine, you come back to the truth and ask the Father's forgiveness and seek his face from here on and work out the operate out the set-apart spirit, you can be forgiven too. So he says, let me just finish it. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise Father, Yahuwah, be honor and glory forever and ever. Hold on. Close the door, India. Verse 18. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have putting away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I'm not going to read too much more. I just want you guys to have that. But when you understand that Paul might not have spoke of the virginity birth, and why wouldn't he? You tell me, if he wrote most of the New Covenant. But one thing he did say, if you go to Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, I'm going to read it real quick. Paul, a servant of Yahushua, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of Yahuwah, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the set-apart spirit, or excuse me, in the set-apart scripture, concerning his son Yahushua, our Redeemer, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the son of Yahuwah with power, according to the spirit of set-apartness, by the resurrection from the dead. He wrote that, though, but he didn't write no virginity birth. You're going to see why. Because there is no virginity birth. There is no... Look, I can go many places. I'm going to stop there because that's enough. Let's get to it, family. Let's get to it. I just want to make sure I read some of these things because they got a lot of people believing in a lot of stuff. And I know it's hard because you first come out of Christianity or world teachings from all religions and faiths. And they all got twisted up lies here and there. They all basically, they have a different message. Why is there so many different religions out there? There's, what, Christians, you got the Catholics, you got the Seventh-day Adventists, you got, I mean, there's just a bunch. I'm not going to name them all, but they're there. If there's only one book, because people have opened themselves up to the interpretations of men. Many who teach, Father said, I didn't send them. Because if he would have sent them, they would have understood. But when the truth comes forward, just like Yahushua was that truth, people rejected him, even his own people, because they had learned the lies of the scribes and the Pharisees, and many had intermingled with the Gentiles, learning their lies. So now we're getting ready to go to where we're going to break down the lie, especially the lie of the virgin birth, okay? Because that word and everything that surrounds it makes people think of Roman Catholicism, if that's a word, Immaculate Conception. And they show you the pictures, which are all of Gentiles, Goyim, you know, and it uplifts Mary, and many don't get the connection with the Queen of Heaven and Mary or Baal, Lord worship, Jesus. They don't get that. Family, we got to come to the truth. Let's get started. I'm going to be reading out of my handheld scriptures. And let me just check my chat line and everything, make sure everybody's doing okay. Hey, welcome. Ooh, glad to see you all there. Okay, family, I'm going to be reading, like I said, taking my time and reading with some understanding. And I pray you're here to learn. I'll just be honest with you, too, because I was really, really, really thinking about this. I might offend somebody when I say it, but it's the truth. It's in the scripture. You know, when they talk about first to the Hebrew and then the Gentile, according to the words in English in the scriptures. Now, what it's talking about is first to Yehuda, which was a southern kingdom, and then the Gentiles were of Israel, the northern kingdom. So first to the southern kingdom, which was called Yehuda in Jerusalem, and then to the Gentiles, or the lost sheep of the house of Israel that was scattered. So, you know, someone called last lesson, and I know they're going to have a hard time probably asking me a lot of questions, but, you know, it's not meant for me to teach them. It's not meant for them to get this. The only reason I go even so far as to do that, family, is because sometimes the Father will do things that is beyond what I would consider normal. I don't know what use he uses for people. I don't want to cut anybody down, and if they're seeking the Father, I'm going to give it to them, but I'm not going to lie about it. It was meant for our people. So I will answer questions, and I will go through these scriptures, and I pray I didn't offend anyone, but it's the truth. It's not talking about any other nation that's supposed to get this understanding. We're not supposed to be teaching any other nation, just our people. Let's go. Turn to the book of Luke. Turn to the book of Luke. When you go to the book of Luke, I want to say one quick thing. Just know this. When Gabriel appears before Mary in Luke chapter 1, know this. These events occur before the events that we'll be reading about shortly in Matthew chapter 1. Okay? Scripture will prove that Mary was not pregnant yet in the book of Luke chapter 1 at the time that Gabriel appeared to her, but was in Matthew chapter 1 pregnant. Okay? We can read just by reading it. Just by reading it. I want to take you guys, we're going to begin Luke chapter 1, let's go to verse 26. And like I said, I'm not going to be opening up any links because my computer does freeze. But when we go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26, it reads, I'm going to read verse 26 and 27 for you guys. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from Yahuwah, he was sent from above, unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. Now, when we read that, family, know the word espoused is Greek 34:23. If you didn't know, it's talking about the word espoused means somebody who is promised, someone who is a betrothed, okay? Something that's going to happen in the future. This was a promise of a person who was going to marry another person. Okay? And we're going to know who is making the promise. Really, think about it. Many promises were made to Israel. We're going to find out who really made that promise. But let's go a little further. If you look it up, it just tells you someone who is promised or betrothed. That's what the word espouse means. So it says that this virgin who was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. So she was already promised to be Joseph's wife. That's all I'm saying. They use the word virgin. You can read it. You can eliminate it. You do whatever you want to do at this point. I want you to get the clear understanding of what's being spoken of. In Luke, when the angel Gabriel appeared, Mary was not yet pregnant. She was not pregnant. The books are out of order. So if you believe the virgin birth, you'll be like, oh, see, wait a minute, why? Just come as a child to learning the scriptures. Mary was not pregnant. Let's find out more. Let's go a little deeper. So by the time we get to, let's go to 28 and 29, because we see that this angel is coming. Oh, I didn't read 28 for you guys yet, did I? I need to go there. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her. So he came to her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. Yahuwah is with thee among women. That's what Gabriel tells Mary. Now, Mary was a little troubled by what he said. You know, she was a little confused, meaning Mary wondered, how was she blessed and favored among women? She didn't understand why he said that. That's all that is. By the time we get to 29, it says, and when she saw him, she was troubled. She saw the angel, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She's trying to figure out why is she blessed and why is she favored. She didn't understand. I mean, that's just like if that were happened in 2013 to one of you. You're in wherever, your room or something, and an angel comes tell you that. You want to know, why am I? You're trying to figure this out because he told her, he says, Hail, thou art highly favored. Yahuwah is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So she's trying to figure out what type of salutation is this angel bringing to her. Now, let's go and find out, because Gabriel's going to explain it. Let's go to verses 30, and we'll read 30 and 31. Let's read that. Gabriel says, And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Yahushua. Okay, so now Mary understands why she is highly favored and why she is called blessed, because the angel has just told her in verse 30 and 31, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with our father Yahuwah. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb." This is future prophecy. It says, thou shalt. She wasn't pregnant yet. Thou will be. That's another way of saying it. You will conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. He's even telling her, prophesying what it would be. Would it be a daughter or would it be a son? Well, it's going to be a son. "And shall call his name Yahushua." This is what you're going to call him, Yahushua. That's what Mary was told. And when you understand that, this particular point, when the angel was talking to Mary in the book of Luke, Mary was not pregnant. He was giving her prophecy of what to expect in the dispensation of time. This will occur. You will conceive. You will bring forth a son. You will call his name Yahushua. Understand, family? Now Gabriel will explain what manner of child Yahushua will be when we read Luke chapter 1, verse 32 and 33. Let's get there. The angel Gabriel, he states in verse 32, speaking of Yahushua, her son, he says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And Yahuwah shall give unto him the throne of his father David." Okay, verse 33. "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob," or shall I say Israel, okay, "forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." So these are the things, family, that Mary, you know, is hearing from Gabriel concerning, this angel Gabriel, concerning her soon-to-be-conceived son, Yahushua. Okay? Remember, he said that this son would be great, called the Son of the Highest, and given the throne of his father David, and would reign over the house of Jacob, which is Israel, forever, with a kingdom that would be eternal and everlasting. Point, he's just giving her future prophecy or the word from the Father, because in the dispensation of time, this would occur. Okay? Now, this sounds unbelievable to Mary. Remember, during this time, Israel knew, okay, they knew of and was waiting for the Redeemer. And now Gabriel, the angel sent from the Most High, or the messenger sent from the Most High, is informing Mary that it will be her. It will be her son, okay, which she will conceive, okay, that is foretold by the mouth of the prophets. This is a lot. This is a lot. Think about it, family. Just stop. Like when I say, when I go through the scriptures, I sit back and I think. I allow the scriptures to flow, and I think about what's going on. So this angel Gabriel has told Mary all these tidings of future events in the dispensation of the Most High's time that is going to occur. She's not pregnant yet, but this is what's going to happen. So it talks about, and just by reading the words, you already know it. This angel was speaking about what was foretold by the prophets. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah. Okay, we're going to go to Isaiah. I got to take a little time to get this link open. I'm sorry, family. I should have had this up ahead of time, and I might have it ahead of time because I got a lot of notes. I think that's some other stuff. But anyhow, let me just get there because I want to make sure that I read to you guys accurately. Really, this should be the last time, but my computer's sticking. Let's see. Okay, this should be the last time. Excuse me. I don't know why, but it seems like all this always occurs right before the lesson. I hate just my computer. I might have to go through. And you know what? I'm not going to go through. I forgot. I have my scriptures standing right in front of me. Just give me a time to open up. But you guys go ahead and open up to Isaiah chapter 9. Okay, We're going to open up together. How about that? And I'll try to put a little bookmarker where I need to put it. Isaiah 9. Okay, let me get Isaiah 9 up here. I got so many things marked in mine. I don't know how yours look, but mine is full of stuff. Okay, Isaiah 9, and then we're going to open up and read verses 6 and 8 of Isaiah 9. Remember, the prophet spoke of this, okay? If you read what Isaiah had to say, he said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty Yahushua, the Everlasting Father, Peace." Okay? And I want to read verse 7 and 8 as well. "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of Yahuwah, creator of hosts, will perform this." This is our Heavenly Father. Verse 8, "Yahuwah sent a word into Jacob," into Israel, "and it hath lightened upon Israel." So we get an understanding just by reading Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 8. The people knew about it. They knew that a Redeemer would be born. Let's go a little further. And this one would have an everlasting kingdom. Let's go now to Isaiah 11. I want to read verses 1 through 5 real quick. All this was talked about in the scriptures. They knew about it. Mary them knew about it. Everybody was waiting for it. When you go to Isaiah 11, I'm going to pick up at verses 1 through 5 real quick. Okay, verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Most High shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Most High, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Most High Yahuwah. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reign." So you know they're talking about Yahushua, because they can't be talking about David or Solomon. Come on now. You know, I bring up these verses because I want people to think and to understand. Mary, as well as Joseph and the other Hebrews that were in Jerusalem, they knew the prophecies. They were waiting for a Redeemer. So when this angel comes to Mary and he's telling her all these things, you know, it's like it's unbelievable to her. It's unbelievable that she should be chosen. Let's go a little further. Okay, excuse me. So we know that Mary, we understand that Mary as well as Israel knew a Redeemer would come. But still it was a lot for Mary to take in by Gabriel. So she says, now when we go to Luke chapter 1, switch back. Go back to Luke chapter 1, let's get 34. Now, after Gabriel is telling Mary future prophecy and what's going to happen in dispensation of time, or shall I say a fulfillment of the prophecy, really, because they knew what was going to happen. He tells her like this, Mary still, you know, she's not really, you know, she's a little shaken by what he says to her. So when you get to verse 34, here's what he says, or this is what Mary says. "Mary, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And I know people love that part. Ooh, there she goes. Come on, how you going to get out of it? How am I going to get out of what? Let's read what it says and let's get some understanding of what she said. Keep in mind, all this stuff would happen to Mary. Mary was not pregnant yet. You forgetting that part? Mary was not pregnant. Okay, so Mary says, she says, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Okay? How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Mary wasn't confused about how pregnancy happened. I mean, there's no new thing under the sun. Everybody around her was getting pregnant the same way you see today. That's not what it was that was confusing to Mary. That's not why she made the statement, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That's not what she was talking about. Remember, we're in the book of Luke. She wasn't pregnant yet. Listen, what she was troubled or confused about was the prophecy Gabriel spoke to her concerning the son she would have. Okay? I mean, she will be the mother of the Redeemer of his people. She would conceive, okay? What would be in her would be set apart and be called the Son of the Most High. Gabriel told her, okay, let's pay attention to what Gabriel tells her. He had told her, the son, your son would be, which is Yahushua, he told Mary, the Son of the Highest, the King of Israel, and the Redeemer of Israel. When Mary had heard all this, what she said was, how is this possible? Or how will it happen concerning the fact that I'm trying to really stress the importance of what this angel came down and told Mary. Unless you understand that Mary was like, it could be me, could be any other Hebrew woman. You know, there's no difference in our people. We're just generations later that live in the year, well, living in time, really, in the year 2013. But we're all the same people. If an angel comes and tells you all this, think about it, especially you women. Or if you're a man, you can think about it too. But what I'm saying is, if something is told to you like this, this is unbelievable. This is almost like, what? See, when Mary heard all this, when she asked, how is this possible or how will it happen concerning the fact that she had not yet had sex and you're telling me that my son will be the son of Yahuwah, King of Israel and Redeemer of his people. How is that possible? Okay. She knew that the Father's word was true, but she was trying to figure out how is it possible for her, because everybody knew that two people get together, have sex, and there's a child. Same thing that you see today, nothing new under the sun. That didn't stumble her. That is not what the comment, seeing I know not a man, that wasn't even her forethought family. She wants to know, how will this be possible that a Redeemer will come through me? That's what she's asking. And remember, Israel understood prophecy that a Redeemer would come through his brethren, which means, I could say, are the people, by the power of Yahuwah. So Gabriel had to explain to Mary how she, being an average Hebrew woman of the seed of David, okay, which is of the priestly lineage, splitting off at who? Well, Nathan, which is Solomon's brother, still under King David, one of his seed. How could she give birth to a child that would save his people? How can this be, seeing I have not known a man? Just as there is no new thing under the sun, family, Mary didn't believe that, or excuse me, it wasn't that Mary didn't believe. I don't want to mess it up, but I'm messing it up. I'm trying to see how does the West I'm trying to think of the best way to put it to you so that you understand. Everybody, just like 2013, you can probably get a little 5-year and they'll tell you how a baby comes out. That wasn't the issue. The issue was the words that were spoken by the messenger angel to Mary. That's what concerned her. How can this be? Okay, how could that be? That's what it was. So when we take a look at what was said, and Mary, you know, being confused concerning how's all this going to happen to me? You know, the angel, let's see what the angel says. The angel Gabriel explains to Mary how this will be made possible or how it's going to happen. Let's go to the next verse. It tells us, and the angel, this is verse 35, and the angel Gabriel, right, answered and said unto her, the set apart spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that set apart thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Yahuwah. So he explained, this angel is explaining how this is going to occur, Mary. So what is all this saying? That's what we really just, when we talk about the set apart spirit shall come upon thee and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, we know the world talks about some type of divine birth without a man. They talk about basically a Genesis 6 recreation of an abomination. They talk mythologies, because we know all the deities that center around the word Jesus and Mary, they all had the same type of so-called virgin birth. They all had the same so-called death and resurrection. All this was bought in by this confusion, bought in by the other nations, and many of our people have bought it. But what he was telling her, when he told her in verse 35, the set apart spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. When he told her that, what he was, family, all he was telling her was the Most High Spirit will rest upon you, and the power, his power, Yahuwah's power, shall cover her. Now, for the power of the Most High to cover her, that is simply the power of authority spoken of in 1 Corinthians 11:3. Because there's only three powers of authority, okay? I'm just bringing you back and forth so that you see that what is spoken in the book of Luke and Matthews, it's nothing foreign. It's nothing foreign. It's just that the understanding of this so-called virgin birth has been misunderstood, as well as the power of authority, as well as many other things. Because there is a lot of fables, traditions of men, lying, wolves in sheep clothing. I can go on and on with it. But this right here was just the most high power overshadowing her or covering her, okay? Didn't mean, and I don't even want to go there, because what they're saying is actually very much an abomination that some will say that it was the father, Yahuwah, that impregnated Mary. You know, I don't even like to go that route. I like to take that other little route they like to say, which is a lie, and say it was an angel, a messenger angel that impregnated Mary. I mean, they're all lies, but that's the one I'd rather use if I'm going to say it. And shame to people who would even think that when you read the scriptures. Let's keep going on. So this power of authority or this covering would be, which is the power, would be over Mary. That's all it was saying. Remember, everybody, you need to go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, that speaks about there's only one mediator between man and the Most High, and that's that man, Yahushua. Understand these words, man. It's talking about the people, the assembly, the daughters of Zion. Because they put that word virgin in there, same thing. There's many meanings for a word. Don't get the word virgin confused with the speech that you're hearing today, because it didn't mean what you think. And when your mind is wrapped up on fables and traditions of men and mythology, you know, sometimes it's hard to get this. That's why I ask everybody to come as children. That's what we're supposed to do according to the word. Let's get to the truth. We got to get to the truth, family. I could give you, just in case somebody going to want to know, because I know there's somebody sitting out there. I already know. I'm going to take the extra time. I don't have to defend myself because I'm going to tell you what the word says, but I'm going to take my extra time to just show you this. Because I did read from 1 Timothy, or at least give you the understanding, from 1 Timothy 2:5 that says, "For there is one mediator between Yahuwah and men." The word is men they have in there. If you go to the Greek 4:4:4, the word men means, it says human beings, but I would like to say earthbound spirits dwelling in a vessel. Okay? That's what I would like to say for the word human being. But it says whether male or female. Okay, we're talking about men, the word men, where it says there's only one mediator between the Most High and his people. They say men, but it could be male or female, okay? In the plural, that word men is in the plural, by the way, means people. But what people? Well, the people of the Most High, of course. So going back to Gabriel explaining to Mary how all this will happen, we're understanding now. Because the spirit and the power of Yahuwah would be with Mary, covering her or, basically covering her or being her cover. Either way, I'm trying to give it to you how you might understand it. But because the spirit and the power of Yahuwah would be with Mary, covering her, the power of Yahuwah would be there. If the spirit, and I probably shouldn't have put the word power in there, but the spirit, it was a spiritual thing, family. It was not an actual interaction between an angel or the Most High in a sexual way. What was occurring was on a spiritual level that the presence of the covering of our Father through the power and the spirit that enters into every human being that, and I use the word human being because I just read it, but every Israelite is sent from above. The Father knew you before you was placed within your mother's womb, formed in your mother's womb. So the Spirit still would be from the Most High, because remember in the beginning, the book of John, chapter 1, was the Word. Talking about Yahushua, he was a Spirit. Once again, there is no new thing underneath the sun. I'm keep repeating these words because I want you to see that when they put it in the scripture, they put it in the scripture for a reason. We know that if we go and get the understanding that he would be called, let's go to 35 and read it all. "And the angel answered and said unto Mary, the set-apart spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Then he tells her, therefore also that set-apart thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of Yahuwah." And the English words, they like to say Son of God. Because I know if I say it that way, you might get it. Now, is there anything new about this? Really, is there anything new about a man? And when I say a man, I'm talking about flesh. Those who have a spirit that the Father knew before he formed us in our mother's womb, the Hebrews. Is there anything unusual about being called a son of Yahuwah, or like they like to say, a son of God? No. We can go, and I will go there. Open up, everybody. We can find the same thing happening to our people. We were called the sons of the Most High, or the sons of God, as they like to say. Let's go to John chapter 1, verses. We're going to read verses 1-12. Take your time. I'm taking my time because I got so many scriptures here. But, you know, hey, we're here to learn. Go to John 1, and we're going to read verses 1-12. We're going to see if this is unusual, because you got to make a connection that Yahushua came in a vessel, which was called flesh, made by a man and a woman, just like all the other brethren or the assembly, that he was called the Son of the Most High. He was also called the Son of Man. But were we not called the sons of the Most High as well as Son of Man? You know, those are words that are used for people too, in the flesh. People don't understand that a lot of these words, they try to put some kind of spin on it to get you thinking something in the woo-woo-woo land. No. Ain't nothing new in the sun. If you didn't see it happening today, you can't read about it anywhere else. And what you're reading in Scripture is wrong because Paul didn't even talk about it. There was no Genesis 6 going on when they talk about the birth of Yahushua. When we go to John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. It tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with our Father Yahuwah, and the Word was Yahushua. The same was in the beginning with Yahuwah. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Remember, he came into this earth, right? There was a man sent from the Most High. He was sent from the Most High. Why? Because the Father knew him before he formed him in his mother's womb. Talking about John the Baptist, all of us, you cannot go back to where you've never been. We will return. Absent from the body is present with the Father. But in order to be going up to the Father, you at first have had to be come down, descended into this vessel, called a body. So it tells us, there was a man sent from the Most High whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, which was Yahushua, that all the people, the Hebrews, through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man, which lighteth the assemblies that cometh into the world. Into the world. Now, you know how you're going to come into the world, just like Yahushua did. Just like Yahushua did, fam. Y'all know what I'm saying. I'm trying to show you. Nobody coming into this plane of existence, if they're not coming into it, and I'm talking about, we're not talking about possession. What we're speaking of is the earth vessels that indwell the set-apart spirit. And the ones who don't, too, they had to come into the world, too, and that's how they come into the world. But the only difference is we have to set up our spirit because our Father knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. So it tells us that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came in unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yahuwah, even to them that believe on his name. So you see, family, even those who believe upon Yahushua's name will be called the sons of the Most High, or like the Bible says, the sons of God. All right, I want to share that with you. You can go to Romans 8, 14. I'm not going to read it. You read it. You can also go to 1 John 3, verses 1 through 3, okay? Many places we were called the sons of the Most High. Many places. So we can understand now, family, that at the let's go back. I got pages flying everywhere here, but and it wouldn't be this rough, family, if they wouldn't mess with my computer. But you know what I go through. So I just ask everybody to bear with me because I'm going from computer to two or three screens to the scriptures I have at home. and it's a little confusing. I didn't even bother putting anything on the computer. I was having so many problems. So we do understand that Yahushua's birth, speaking, when they say in 1 Chronicles 17:11, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I might read a little bit of it, but we understand because we gave that understanding for our last lesson. It tells us thy sons, and I broke down that word in 1 Chronicles 17, okay, verse 11. The word thy sons, speaking of David, it was talking about David's sons, his children, his progeny, okay, whether male or female. All these words that we may have believed mean one thing. We're seeing they mean other things. You go look it up, okay, because the word sons is Hebrews 11:21. It means children, male or female. But we're understanding that everybody thinks that it was something that was so out of this world that happened, and they call it an immaculate conception. And they put a whole fantasy around it. But really what happened was a common birth. And I don't want to say that Yahushua was coming, but it was a regular birth, just like everybody else was having. But the difference was what spirit was placed within her womb. This spirit was there in the beginning. He was the Word. He came to fulfill prophecy laid out. He came to redeem his people. When we go to 1 Chronicles 17, verse 11, I'm just going to read verse 11 because we know it's speaking of David. It says, and it shall come to pass when thy days will be expired, we know we're talking about King David, that Yahuwah raise up the seed, thy seed after thee. We're talking about a seed, which is progeny, children, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. So we know thy sons mean male or female, either one of the Hebrew children out of the lineage of David. We know that both Mary and Joseph would fit those requirements. Okay? And it says, and I will establish his kingdom. Whose kingdom? Well, that's Yahushua. You're getting a connection where even when you go to 1 Chronicles in the Old Covenant, that Yahushua was spoken to come. The problem that many are having today is they're doing separation. They're not coming spiritual. They're not understanding these words. They get it part of the way. That's why I'm amazed. When I listen to some of these lessons, and I mean some of them, like for the virginity birth, when you go through these lessons, pay attention. How is it that they can break these words down, most of them, but the ones they really should be breaking down, they seem to forget it? As one that you don't even need to break down, which I always tell you about as a daughter of Zion, that you don't even need to break down, just read a little bit. But something like this, I can see them, thy sons, possibly being confused. I can see that. But to me, with them, if you can be a teacher in the amount of studying and the amount of breaking down of words when I hear you teach, why isn't it that you don't understand this, and why aren't you telling the people? Because, see, when you don't do that, and when you teach just Joseph or just Mary, but you're saying that it wasn't a virginity birth, you're still dividing the people. And you're taking away from the Father's truth. The Father's truth is that both of them were the seed or thy sons of David. Both of them made the prophecy 100% fulfilled through Joseph and Mary. You know, it's like I'm trying to think how to say it. Sometimes when you're trying to prove something so bad, you wind up covering more glory from the Father of what he did. Because our Father is great. Comprehension can't even come to his. He could do what he said, and he said what he was going to do. It was in the prophecy that the sons, thy sons, speaking of King David, which were the children, the male and the female, that through this lineage, this seed, that there would be someone of David's lineage that would sit on his throne, and that the Most High would establish Yahushua's kingdom. See, to me, it's more full. I like it full. I like all. I want it all. I want it all. Because that's what the word is speaking about. That's what the word is speaking about, family. So let us reason together, family, and understand. At the time of the birth, at this time, both Joseph and Mary, who are the seed or the sons of David, when they had sex, what was going to be prophesied to happen, we know that the power of the Most High, Yahuwah, would be present, and Yahuwah sent the spirit of Yahushua, okay, which was the word and the spirit from the beginning, into Mary's womb, because he says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. He knew Yahushua because Yahushua was in the word in the beginning. None of this is really out of order, and I pray I'm not messing anybody up. My mind, you know, it's like I get so many precepts that I sometimes I forget, oh, well, make the connection. That's why I'm trying to take my time with this. Because if you understand that the book of Luke should have come before the book of Matthew, the book of Luke is when the angel spoke to Mary. He was giving her what was going to happen to her future in the dispensation of time. It hadn't happened yet. Later we read in the book of Matthew, she was already pregnant. But if you get the books out of order, that's when they are able to bring in the fantasies and the fables and the mythologies and the lies and bring in their deities again. But no doubt, just like anyone gets pregnant today, don't you think Yahushua was made the same way? We're going to prove it, but think about it. The power of the Most High Yahuwah was present. And Yahuwah was sent, okay, and Yahushua was sent, okay, by the Spirit, which was the Word, okay? He was the Spirit from the beginning into Mary's womb. The Spirit, family, came from Yahuwah, but the body or the vessel was made during sex by Joseph and Mary, who are both the seed of David. Now, I'm going to say that again. I want to make sure everybody got that, because I know I had a couple messages sent to me, and I'm going to take a sip. If I'm going to do this, I want to enjoy myself too. Hold on. Thank you. I want you to understand what's going on here. Mary was getting prophecy by Gabriel the angel. He was foretelling her what was going to occur. Now, Israel and Mary, Joseph too, they all understood that a Redeemer would come because we read it in Isaiah. They all understood this. Mary was a little concerned, troubled, whatever, because of the fact that she's trying to think, well, you know, basically, who am I? And not only that, but how is this thing going to happen? The angel explained to her. He explained to her exactly how it was going to happen. He explained to her the attributes of Yahushua, her son, to be. She wasn't pregnant in the book of Luke, first chapter. But the angel was telling her all these things that was going to occur. So now she's going to understand. I shouldn't say Mary's going to understand. Let me say this. Now with that bit, we should understand. When Joseph and Mary had sex to produce the vessel that the spirit of Yahushua, who was the word in the beginning, was going to come and dwell in, it was all covered by the power of our Father Yahuwah. It was ordained. It was ordained. The spirit came from our Father Yahuwah, right? But the body or the vessel had to be made of flesh and blood. Mary and Joseph, they weren't spirits. They were in the flesh, just like you and I are. I can't have a child without a man. A man can't have a child without a woman. Together, which is the way the Father wanted it, and it's the only way a birth will come, only way a birth will come, a vessel or a baby is produced. Now, what resides in that baby has to come from the Father. That's how we got here. That's why we're able to hear the word and get the word, because the set-apart spirit that dwells in us leads us and guides us. There is no new thing under the sun. Okay? Now, I just want to make sure I pray I got it right. But note that Mary and Joseph were both the seed of David. Somebody out there going to want to still hold on to that seed thing. That seed thing is dividing us strongly, family. I stress that because the Father put it on me. I can't tell y'all how much he be putting stuff on me. I know y'all look at me and say, well, Georgia, are we tired of you repeating? No, I got to. I got to. Because this same thing, if you go to the old covenant as well, to the new covenant, has what has been leading our people, causing our people to err. You got to know these things. We're talking about virginity birth now. But it's not in the way the world teaches. We're giving you the spiritual understanding of what took place. And we're also telling you that, yes, Joseph was the father. If you don't see it now happening, it didn't happen, like the world says, with the virginity birth. Because our Father tells us there's nothing new under the sun. So that's in his word. It was preserved for you to understand. Okay, we're going to read about this, family. We're going to read about, let's go to Acts 13. We're going to read about this. Let's go to Acts 13. I should have had my scriptures open, but I don't, so I got to give me a little break. Go to Acts 13. All right. Okay. Acts 13. Like I said, I did not write down notes because my computer was freezing on me all day, really making it hard. So I know y'all bear with me because y'all know I'll be trying to get the scriptures for you. But hey, when you get to Acts 13, let's go ahead and jump to verse 22. I'm going to just read 22 and 23. Okay? As a matter of fact, I noticed I wrote it down. I didn't have to go in my scriptures. I did write it down. Anyhow, now remember, the seed is the offspring as well as a spirit from the Father. We can go to Acts 13, verses 22 and 23. We'll read it and make sure everybody gets that. When you go to Acts 13, verse 22 reads, and when he had removed him, speaking of Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath Yahuwah promised, raised unto Israel a Savior, Yahushua. So we see the word seed, family, is also talking about offspring. But what people are doing today with the word seed is they're talking about building a nation, and they're forgetting all about Yahushua. They're forgetting all about the Father. They're doing some of their own will. But it was prophesied that this seed, of this man's seed would be of David's seed, by the way. Of David's seed. The reason why I want to go to that particular verse talking about the seed, because we're going to look up the word a little bit. I want to give a little bit more understanding. Now, it was talking about to this man's seed, speaking about David. When you look up the word seed, you have to go to Greek 4690. The word is sperma. The word is sperma. Everybody right there going to jump and say, see, a man's sperm. Well, if you're working out the flesh, yeah, you should do that. You should do that if you're working out the flesh. But if you're working out the spirit with what you already know about David's sons and the seed of David, what we've been talking about, let's look at that word, sperma, seed, Greek 4690. Remember to think spiritual family, not of the flesh. The word sperma has many meanings. It means the product of his semen. And whose semen? Not man's, but David's. Because people thinking that every time you see the word seed, it's talking about just, you know, no. Something special was going to occur. We're talking prophecy. We're not talking about just everybody taking care of their little business. But this right here says the a product of his semen, his children. So this word seed, even though it says sperma, it's talking about the children. Talking about the children. It's not talking about what many people believe, the word seed, and I don't even know how to get around it without being gross about what was being said right now. But just know it's talking about children, offspring, progeny, family, tribes, and prosperity. Now, here's something you may not know. When you look up that word, 4690, the word sperm, or excuse me, sperma, which is seed, when you look up the word seed, Greek 4690, which says sperma, it also tells us a vital force of, it says a vital force or life-giving power. So, family, the word seed, or shall I say sperma, can mean both of the spiritual as well as of the physical lineage. It can mean that. Many want to take it to be, and it's almost a cult what they're doing. They're taking that word. That's why I watch the words I use, because it's the words that have been used to deceive our people. But what the Father is speaking of, when we go back and we read, and I'm going to read again. Okay, I'm going to read Acts 13, 22 and 23 so you get this. And when he had removed him, speaking about Saul was removed from over Israel, he raised up unto them, up unto Israel, David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath Yahuwah, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Yahushua. The seed is nothing but the children again. Once again, Mary and Joseph both fall in line for that. Okay, they both. So, remember, the spirit of Yahuwah already existed. We can read about that in John 1, verses 1 through 4. Read, and go ahead and read it, you know, when you get time. I'm not going to read all that again. But we know he was there as the word. He was there in the beginning. But when it was his dispensation of time, when it was Yahushua's dispensation of time to come down to earth and fulfill prophecy, he came in flesh as his people were. That is, i.e. man, his people, the men and the women, the Hebrews. So he needed an earthly vessel or a body, okay? So when we go, and we will go there, everybody go ahead and, before I start, flip open to Hebrews 10. So we're going to get the understanding. We're going to read about it. How did Yahushua, did he even talk about having a body made for him? Yes, he did. Okay? Was there a body prepared for him? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Give me a second to get to it myself. Oh, this is one. My fingers don't work like they. Here we go. I got that quick. Thank you, Father. All right. My page is sticking everything. Hebrews chapter 10, family. Let's go through verses 1 through 10. Because we know, we understand everything. Everything, although we might not understand it at the time, but everything is done through a dispensation of time. So was Yahushua's birth. Prophecies had to be fulfilled. People had to be redeemed. Let's read about it. Okay? He had to come down. Okay, Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, and this goes back to those of the flesh, okay? For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offer year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. They had to keep doing it, family, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have no more conscious of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sin. Wherefore, he cometh into the world. Who's the he? Who's the he? That's Yahushua, right? It says, because of all these sacrifices that our people were doing, and they kept sinning. They just kept sinning. But it says, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said it, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body hast thou prepared me. He was that one-time sacrifice. His body was prepared. You want to ask the obvious question? How was his body prepared? Many people are going to say hanging on a tree or something. No. Let me keep reading. His body was prepared. This is verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said it, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O Father. It says above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come, this is Yahushua, I come to do thy will, Father. He taketh away the first, which was the old covenant, that he may establish the second, which is the new covenant, which is Yahushua, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Yahushua once and for all. So his body was prepared, had to be prepared, because he says, lo, I come. Let me read it. Verse 5, wherefore Yahushua says he cometh into the world. He said, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Remember, our bodies are just vessels. What made Yahushua so different from us and so above us was that he was the Word in the beginning. But his body had to be prepared on this earth, family. His body had to be prepared on this earth, okay? Now, when we read this, remember, Gabriel explains how all this would happen because Mary was confused or troubled by what the angel Gabriel had told her. So we're going to pick back up. Let's go to Luke 1. 3 and 7, because I want to go a couple places with you guys. Let's go to verse 37 of the book of Luke. I got to switch back over. Okay, when you get to Luke 1 and you get to verse 37, it reads, for with Yahuwah nothing shall be impossible. That's what he tells us. She, you know, she understood sex. I mean, like I tell you, right, there's nothing new under the sun. Many of the children understand sex, that that's how a baby comes. They'll tell you that in school, elementary. Some people know that really, really early in life, but, you know, they understand that. So that's not what she was confused about. She just wants to know how this would all happen, okay? So in verse 37, he says, for with Yahuwah nothing shall be impossible. By the power of the Most High, nothing is possible. Gabriel told her everything is possible through the power of Yahuwah. And at this point, Mary believed. Mary believed. I just read some verses in advance that Mary didn't have when I read to you guys out of Hebrews 10, verses 1 through 10, specifically verse 5, allowing us to know that his body had to be prepared to be that sacrifice. But how was it prepared? Well, we know that Mary and Joseph had sex. We know that just by reading. But let's go a little further. Now, let's go to verse 38. It reads, and Mary said, behold, the handmaiden of Yahuwah, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Because at this point, after Gabriel told her, everything is possible through the might and the power of the Most High. Everything is possible. What is impossible for man is possible for the Most High. Everybody knows that. So when he told Mary that, she understood. She believed at that point. And then it tells us in verse 38, Mary said, behold, she's speaking of herself, the handmaiden of the Most High. She says, be it unto me according to thy word, according to the word from the messenger angel from the Father. Do what you're going to do. Okay? She's understanding and she believes. At this point, we see that then the angel departs. But we got to remember, when we go back to verse 31, Gabriel told her, thou shalt conceive. So we know that by reading Luke chapter 1, because the angel departed in verse 38, Mary was not pregnant. Now watch when we go over to Matthew's. With understanding, we're going to get the understanding. But you got to know, there's nothing new that you're seeing here. It's just that if you have been taught a lie, and we all have, sometimes to come out of that lie and just read what the Father's Word says pertaining to his people, pertaining to our bodies being vessels, pertaining to the Father knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb, pertaining to in the beginning was the Word was Yahushua, it was a spirit, that he had a body that was prepared by a man and a woman. He had a vessel prepared for him through a man and a woman, that man being Joseph and that woman being Mary. When we get ready to go to the book of Matthew, we're going to find out she's already pregnant. But in the book of Luke, the angel was coming to tell her all these things. Family, I'll pray my computer's not stuck, but let me just look at everything because I am not. Can you show me in the Bible that Mary had sex? Who is this? Okay, like I said, I mean, I don't know who you are, Greg. I'll be honest with you. And that's why I stated what I said earlier. You're not going to find the word sex in there, but the understanding through the set-apart spirit. And I don't really know if you got it. I don't know who you are, and I'm not being funny. I'm just telling the truth because it says, Greg's show, the one and only show, something. I don't know who this is. But, you know, that's why I don't like to waste my time with the other nations. We are not required to teach them anything. First of all, Father says he only knew us. He was not dealing with them. He didn't give them the covenants, the promises, nothing. The word lets us know that those Gentile strangers, sojourners, were our people. The regathering in is of our people. In order to get the understanding, you got to have the set apart spirit. You have to have been set from above and placed into your mother's womb that the Father said, I knew thee before I formed thee in thy mother's womb. So to me, with that understanding, a lot of this stuff won't make sense to them. A lot of this stuff might anger them. You know, because really, family, we're telling how special we are as the Father's children. We're telling how special Yahushua was to the Father and to us. That don't include them. That little comment, he want to know, he says, can you show me in the Bible that Mary had sex? If they had the word S-E-X spelled real big in the Bible and I showed it to him, he still wouldn't believe. Because it ain't meant for him to believe. But it's meant for your understanding to know the truth. And we're going to read that. So, with that said, I don't like to insult people, but sometimes you got to do certain things. We got 3 minutes left, family. I didn't realize I was taking up this much time, but we do have 3 minutes left. I'm going to get into the book of Matthew next, okay? So if you would like to continue with us, go ahead and switch over to my phone. The number is 646-595-4111, okay? I'm going to do that because, yes, I need a break. So I need to get me something to drink here. I'm going to play one song, and then we're going to get busy. So for those of you who will not be joining us, hey, Shabbat Shalom. Keep the Father first in your life. Hey, come out from the confusion. If you sin, repent, and instantly come out of that wickedness. Turn to our Father. Seek our Father's face. But come in spirit, in truth, in righteousness. Can't come in confusion. Can't come in and repent every time you sin. Some people ask me, well, how many times I got to repent? I said, you repent once of what you did, but you try not to do it again. But if you sin again, repent. Family, stay in the Father's Word. If you're not going to be joining us by the phone line, and I'm already packed with a lot of people here. Got about 2 minutes left. I just want to throw that out at everyone. I got some more stuff because I know people want to go through the book of Matthew. So I had questions asked to me the last lesson. And I tell you, this is easy stuff if you're really reading. Like I said, you wouldn't believe how many notes I have, fam. I spent the whole, and as a matter of fact, I spent the whole day and yesterday sitting right here doing what I'm doing. Yeah, so I know what they're saying out there. As far as the world, I already 90 seconds. As far as the world, I already know about that garbage. But what strikes me very interesting is the Hebrew teachers. Because remember, Yahushua had to talk to, what was his name, Nicodemus. He was supposed to be a leader of Israel. So when we come to breaking down this truth and it's spiritual, it's like they say, the ones of the spirit war with the ones of the flesh. It's a battle going on. It shouldn't be a battle, but it is. All I can say is keep founded in the Word, and you better keep spiritual with your understanding. Don't go anywhere to the left or the right. Okay, fam, I'm going to play this one little song, four-minute song. Get yourself something to drink. I will return with less than a minute. I say Shabbat Shalom to the family, those who won't be joining us, and to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But I do pray that you will go ahead and switch to the phone line. I don't even know if you can now. But the number is 646-595-4111. Be right back, family.
Wouldn't it be so tight just to witness old Jerusalem? Most likely it would be a culture shock, far from Babylon. Mystery Babylon compared to our native land, it would be similar to a hooker hooked on heroin. It's comparable, it's beauty and taste, the land that flowed with milk and honey, I dream of that place. And the fruit I would love to taste, what a shame our people just threw it away. The olive garden had nothing on our gardens, no pesticides to genetically modify olives, huh? It was indeed a beautiful society. Before the Romans, no taxes on our properties, no pollutions but incense blown in the breeze. Find me with my brothers catching fish in the Galilee. Fish in the Galilee. Me and my brothers catching fish in the Galilee. I will praise y'all and enjoy well water free of fluoride. No need for purification mechanisms when my throat's dry. Consume every meal with no fear of E. coli. Food is tampered with, you can still give a try. Can't count on my fingers how many people died for not eating right. When your body shut down, it's gonna be a long night. They fill you up with medication without the education. Y'all's laws taught our whole nation. And who's teaching America? You can get a watermelon without the seed stuff. See, back in the land where we from, you could plant a vineyard and later give a stranger some. Jerusalem, every day was a Thanksgiving. Y'all gave to us a lot, who are you kidding? Our nation was something to behold until we lost our minds and Gentiles gained control. Now we here in Babylon, eating on Cinnabons. If you seen Abraham, you probably envy him. If you saw King David, you might run from him. Why don't you see yourself as one of them? She have high cheeks, oh, now I guess she's Indian. Sometimes Israelites can be their own little villain. Lying to their children. December 25th, lying to your children. Now back to the title of this song called Jerusalem. Back then, we were noble people. No tail-bearing, backbiting, a true brother's keeper. You wouldn't catch Yohanan smoking grass. He ate honey and locusts, and I bet he had a stash. Yeah, smoking that grass. Killing all your brain cells, forgetting all your past. Give me some wine, and I bet I make it last. Breaking some bread with my brothers on the path. Doing what's good, cause I fear the aftermath. Living for Yah, so I don't drink of his wrath. And it's all good, cause I know he'll have my back. Psalm 91, I know that Yah have my back. Gotta stay the course. Focus on Jerusalem, forget about this whore. Gotta stay the course. Focus on Jerusalem. Gotta stay the course.
focus, gotta focus, gotta stay the focus, gotta focus, got focus on Jerusalem, gotta stay the course. Focus on Jerusalem, gotta stay the course. Focus on Jerusalem, forget about the whore. Gotta stay the course. Gotta stay the course. Focus on Jerusalem, forget about the whore. Gotta stay the course.
Okay, family, we're back. This is part, actually, this is the third hour, but this is part two of the virginity deception, Joseph and Mary. We're going to get into the book of Matthews now. I pray everybody got time to get them something to drink, relax, and let's just get into our Father's Word. I welcome everyone who has stayed to join us, quite a few people out there. Okay, fam, we're going to get started. You know, it took me, it seemed like the whole time, I'm sitting still, I got to leave that window open. Although, I did have a brother give me a nice laptop cooler. I put my heat too high in the house, I think, because I still got to keep this window open. So, my tea got really cold. I had to go back and warm up my tea. And it took almost the whole time for my tea to warm up. So, let me have one sip. Okay, that's a little better. All right, now let's go to the book of Matthews. I want to read verse 1, and I want everybody to think about this. This is verse 1. It says, in the book of Matthews, the book of the generation of Yahushua. So this is going to tell us this lineage, the lineage that we've been reading about in Genesis, all the way from Adam in chapter 5, straight up until Yahushua. Okay, and we can read about those lineages also. I mean, there's a lot of lineages in the scripture that leads up to him, but we can read about the one from Adam straight through Genesis chapter 5 and then go to the New Covenant and read in the book of Luke chapter 3, which is the priest line of Mary. And then we can read, and these are descendants of David. We can read in the book of Matthews, chapter 1, through David, the lineage of Yahushua, where Joseph is the father. Because it reads, the book of generations of Yahushua. This is about Yahushua. It's showing his lineage. Okay? It tells us the son of Abraham. This is a lineage. These are births. There is no new thing under the sun. There is no one who is here right now didn't come by way of two people getting together. And I'm talking about a male and a female. I ain't talking about what you might see today. I'm talking about a man and a woman like Joseph and Mary coming together to produce an offspring that would be considered a seed or out of thy loins, this birth. This is the genealogy showing you live births. So, now, let's go. I want to start off, and I want to read Matthews, chapter 1. Let's jump to 18. Verse 18. Everybody open up, please. It tells us, now the birth of Yahushua was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the set-apart spirit. Now, this is what many people read first, the book of Matthews, because Matthews is listed first. They don't realize that those who put our book, our manuscripts into, translated them into English and then put them together in what we call the Bible. They don't realize that, I shouldn't say they don't, but our people don't realize that they just threw those books together. But the true understanding, Luke should have been the first book there. If we're going to talk about Yahushua, his birth, he should have been the first book placed there. Then Matthew, not Matthew, let's put Mark in there, and then let's throw the beginning when the angel prophesies to her before the birth. Let's put that third. No. And then let's not let Paul or anybody else talk about this so-called virginity birth. But we just read in chapter 1. This is the book of the generations of Yahushua, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So it tells us, now the birth of Yahushua was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, this word is spouse. We already told you that means she was promised. You could say engaged, but that's what it meant. It said that when, as his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with a child of the set-apart spirit. We must look at that word before they came together, because many people think, see, before she had sex. That's what they will believe before they came together means. Okay? But we know that that is not what is being spoken of here. And how do we know? Well, there's parts in the scripture we can go there and see that before they came together, family, we're going to find out that's talking about a wedding ceremony. We can see that that's what it's talking about. There's many places when before they came together was not speaking of sex. I have a whole list for you, a whole list. I'm going to give you a couple, and you can go read it where it talks about before they came together. There's 9 places, other times within Scripture, that before they came together, that type of phrase is used. And it's not talking about sex. You can go to Luke chapter 5, verse 15. You can go to Acts 2, verse 6. You can go to Mark 7, verse 1. And you can go to Acts 20, verse 7. In all these accounts, when they come together, or before they came together, rather, is not talking about sex. So we need to get sex off our brain, that what the scripture is saying according to the world, and now the birth of Yahushua happened like this. When as Mary, this virgin, was espoused to Joseph before they came together, which means before they had sex, according to the world, that Mary was found with a child of the set-apart spirit. Nuh-uh. Ain't talking about sex before they came together. That's not what it's speaking of. What they are speaking of is the ceremony, okay, the wedding ceremony before they came together. Before she was married, she was only engaged or promised or betrothed to Joseph. But before the ceremony, it says she was found with child of the set-apart spirit, okay? So the proper precept of understanding of before they came together, okay, it means when Mary was engaged to Joseph, before they came together or before the wedding ceremony, Mary was found with child of the set-apart spirit. Now, for you guys, because I've spoken on it before, I did tell you guys that I listened to 2 that I really enjoyed. They were a little off, just a little bit. Both of them need to think more spiritual. But for most part, they gave some very good information. One of them was the tribe of Judah teaches. What they gave was an understanding of the token of virginity. Okay, this will explain more into why we're told in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, why we've been told, now the birth of Yahushua was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph, before they came together, before the wedding ceremony, she was found with child of the Most High, or of the Spirit, let's call it like that, of the Spirit. Why was this even put in here? You're going to get the understanding. Why was it crucial to let us know that this happened before the wedding ceremony? I want to play this for you guys, and this is the tribe of Judah teaches. It's about the tokens of virginity, okay? It's going to get into this, so you can kick back and listen, pay attention, okay? I did do a lesson on this already, so I'm just going to play what he has. I think it's very sufficient and very good what he put. Of course, the only thing about it is, He says, Yahweh Wishy or something. I don't know what he says. Yahweh Shai, that's it. That's what he says. I don't understand how he got that, but hey, it is what it is. Let me see. Ooh, did it take? I don't see it on there. I tell you what, Fema, let me look. I did download all this, but like I said, I'm having extreme problems with the internet, with Blog Talk. Oh, here it is. Okay, it better be there. Okay, Fema, take a listen to this. This is talking about, why was it important for for them to mention before they came together or before the wedding ceremony? Why was it important for us to know that she was found with a child with the set-apart spirit in her? Pay attention to this.
Look at this. Genesis 29 and 20. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. So Jacob waited 7 years to marry Rachel. And when the 7 years was over, he went to Rachel's father. Verse 21, it says, And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. So Jacob wanted to sleep with Rachel. So what did Rachel's father Laban do? Verse 22, it says, And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. See, the feast was a standard custom. Verse 23, it says, And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him. And he went in unto her, meaning they had sex. Now, Laban gave Jacob the wrong daughter, but that's a different issue. The point is, the marriage ceremony and the feast was a standard custom. Now, of course, every man didn't follow this custom to the T, but Joseph knew that this was the proper way to do things. However, him and Mary didn't wait until the ceremony. They had sex before the ceremony, and that's why Joseph was afraid. Because he knew he got Mary pregnant, and now he was going to have to explain to Mary's father what happened. See, it was more than just a feast. When a man took a woman's virginity during these times, there was a procedure. The couple had sex on a light-colored sheet, so that when the woman bled on the sheets, there would be proof that she was a virgin. Then the man would give the bloody sheet to the woman's father. This was done to protect the reputation of the woman so that she wouldn't be known as a whore in Israel. The bloody sheets, which were called the tokens of virginity, was proof that the woman didn't sleep around. Look at this. Deuteronomy 22 and 13. It says, If any man take a wife and go in unto her, and hate her, verse 14, and give occasions of speech against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid, meaning she wasn't a virgin. Verse 15, then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. So if a man was engaged to a woman, and he had sex with her, and he said that she was not a virgin, the woman's father and mother would take the bloody sheet before the elders of the city to prove that she was a virgin. Watch, verse 16. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. Verse 17. And lo, he have given occasions of speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid. And yet, these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. Meaning, here's the proof that she was a virgin. These are the sheets that she bled on. It says, And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. So the elders would see that the woman was a virgin and her reputation would be protected. So as you can see, it was very important that the tokens of virginity be given to the father. But Joseph and Mary didn't go through these steps. So there was no tokens of virginity to give to Mary's father. So that means it was no way for Mary's father to prove that she was a virgin when she slept with Joseph. So if Joseph was wicked, he could have portrayed Mary as a whore. Now, when we read the story today, we know that Joseph would not have done that to Mary. But as a father in that situation, you would want to protect your daughter just in case. So this was a very big deal. That's why Matthew 1 and 18 lets us know before they came together, before the ceremony, before the feast, before the wedding chamber, before any of that happened, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Mary was already pregnant by Joseph. Now, some people will say, yeah, but it says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So what does that mean? What does it mean that she was found with child of the Holy Ghost? That simply means that Mary's pregnancy was ordained by the Most High. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. And I'm going to prove that's what it means when we get to verse 20. But now that we understand how big of a deal it was for Joseph to not have the tokens of virginity to give to Mary's father, the rest should be easier to understand. Verse 19, it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, meaning Joseph knew that because they didn't wait for the ceremony, that was going to make Mary look bad in the public. You know how people like to gossip. I heard Mary didn't have no tokens of virginity. She probably was sleeping around. Her father let her do anything. See, Joseph was trying to protect Mary's reputation. So because of that, it says, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Meaning Joseph thought about sending Mary away somewhere else so that she didn't have to deal with the ridicule from the people. He wasn't trying to leave Mary. Listen, the beginning of the verse tells us that he was a just man and not willing to make her a public example. If Joseph would have divorced Mary, everybody would have been talking about it. Y'all hear about Mary and Joseph? Yeah, Joseph dumped her. She tried to act like she was a virgin. See, that's the kind of stuff that people would have been saying. She would have been a public example. But the scripture says that Joseph wasn't willing to make her a public example. He wasn't trying to leave Mary. He was going to send Mary away somewhere else to have the baby. Just like our people do today. You send a girl to a town where she's not known and she has the baby there. That's what Joseph was going to do. Verse 20, it says, but while he thought on these things, while Joseph was thinking about the whole situation, it says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. In other words, don't be afraid, Joseph. Don't worry about what everybody's going to say. Take Mary as your wife. Why? It says, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Does that mean the Holy Spirit got Mary pregnant? No. It means that it was an ordained pregnancy by the Most High. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. Let's prove it. Let's go back to Abraham again. This is Galatians 4 and 22. It says, for it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, that's Ishmael, the other by a free woman, that's Isaac. Verse 23, but he who was born of the bondwoman, Ishmael, was born after the flesh, meaning Abraham slept with Hagar and Ishmael was born. But Abraham did that on his own. That was done after the flesh. It says, but he of the free woman, Isaac, was by promise. In other words, the Most High had already promised Abraham that he would have a son with his wife Sarah, which would be Isaac. So the birth of Isaac was not after the flesh. It was after the Spirit, meaning it was ordained by the Most High. It was prophecy being fulfilled. Watch. Let's go down to verse 29. It says, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. What is this saying? Both Isaac and Ishmael were seeds of Abraham, and they both were flesh. But the birth of Isaac was promised to Abraham by the Most High. So Isaac's birth was different. Isaac was born after the Spirit, meaning his birth was ordained by the Most High. It was the fulfillment of prophecy. In other words, Isaac was of the Holy Spirit, or of the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. Let's go back to Matthew 1 and 20. It says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Why? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. In other words, just like Isaac, the child in Mary was after the Spirit, not after the flesh. The Most High ordained Mary's pregnancy to bring forth Christ, just like he ordained Sarah's pregnancy to bring forth Isaac. They were both of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, they were both of the Holy Spirit. I hope you guys understood the reason why it was important for us to go to Deuteronomy 22, which speaks of the tokens of virginity, because this was something that was during the wedding ceremony. They would go in the bride chamber, both the bride and the groom, with this white linen put underneath the woman. And when they consummated the marriage, had sex, that she would bleed on it. They did not have that. They had already had sex. Joseph was pondering what to do, okay? When we go to, I'm going to read it again just so you guys get it. Now, the birth of Yahushua was on this wise. Now, remember, we're reading in the book of Matthew. Many people have been mistaught, but when you read it in the right context, you get the understanding. It says, now the birth of Yahushua was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused or promised or engaged to Joseph before they came together, before the wedding ceremony, Mary was found with child of the set-apart spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, okay, now he's a husband here, right? It says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately, okay? They didn't have the tokens of virginity to present to anyone. So it says in verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Most High appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, showing you that lineage, thy sons, the seed of David, would sit on the throne. It happened through Joseph as well as through Mary. So it says, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the set-apart spirit. Okay, this was something that was ordained. He's telling him, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, Joseph. What is conceived in Mary is of the set-apart spirit. It is ordained. This is prophecy getting ready to get fulfilled here, family. So now, when we go, let's go a little further. Let's go to verse 21. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Remember, it was prophesied. All Israel was waiting for a redeemer to come. Now, Joseph is being told that, don't worry, it's all right. We know you don't have the tokens of virginity, but don't worry about it. Go ahead through. Let's get this understanding. If the understanding was there that the people were waiting for a redeemer from their sins, this is why the prophets spoke of this foreseen birth of Yahushua. Now, it's going to explain everything to you in the next verse of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 22. I'm going to read 22 and 23. It says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the angel, or should I say spoken of Yahuwah by the prophet, saying, this was the prophet's word that came by way of the set-apart spirit from the Most High. He spoke these words concerning this prophecy, this fulfilling of this prophecy. I'm going to take you guys to Isaiah 7. And everybody go ahead and turn with me. Let's go to Isaiah 7 because we're going to hear about how it was prophesied. This right here is one of those tricky verses, but you're going to get it. Hold on a second. Let's get there. Isaiah, I've got to flip through a lot of pages. Okay, Isaiah 7. When you get to Isaiah 7, go ahead and jump to, go to verse 14. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Because we're going to get the understanding, because it talks about it being prophesied. You know, let's find out what he's speaking of. When you get to Isaiah 7, and we go to verse 14, it reads, and this is the prophet Isaiah. Now, he's going to be speaking of it. He says in verse 14, therefore, Yahuwah himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this is what is being spoken of when we read in Matthew's chapter 1, verses 21 and 23. But it tells us, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Father by the prophet. And when you read verse 23, it tells us, behold, a virgin shall, and this is in the book of Matthew, verse 21, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth, I want to read this good. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted us, or being interpreted is the Father Yahuwah with us. And this would be what is spoken by the prophet when you go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and it says, therefore, Yahuwah himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Okay? So, when they talk about that, Yahushua talks about him coming to fulfill things. He had to fulfill what was spoken by the prophets. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 1, the same thing that we can read in Matthew's chapter 1, verse 23. That's your precept, because that's the prophet who spoke of this virgin conceiving and having a child, a son. It gets a little tricky because part of the understanding was during the time Isaiah was doing his prophesying for the father to the children of Israel, okay, some of the understanding went to him, but a lot of the understanding went for future prophecy, and we're going to explain that. So we know, let's go ahead and read verses 15 and 16 of Isaiah 7. Now, I'm going to read 14 again. Therefore, Yahuwah himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that thou bearest, that thou abhorrest, shall be forsaken of both her kings. And we know they're talking about both Israel and Samaria. Okay? That would take you back to the book of 2 Kings. So he's going to explain something here. It's important to get this. So when we go there, we know that part of the prophecy, although when it's put in the book of Isaiah, many people, I didn't even get it at first, I'll be honest with you. But when you understand it's the same phrase that's used in the book of First Matthew, or Matthew's chapter 1, verse 23, same thing, that's the prophecy. So now we got to make the distinction of what are they speaking about. Okay, so we know if we go to Isaiah 8, verse 1, I don't even want to read all this, but Let me go there. Okay, when you go to Isaiah 8, verse 1, it tells us, "Moreover, Yahuwah said unto me, take thee a great roll, and write in it with a man's pen concerning Mahershal Allah Hashabaz." Okay, so we see that this is a child, this is the birth that would be both for Isaiah. We know that Yahushua was going to be that child born by a virgin to Mary. But it speaks of, if you go, we just read it in Isaiah 7:14, rather, it says that, let me get there again. I keep switching. Okay, hold on a second, family. 7 verse 14. Okay, it says that there will be a sign given. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now, the virgin, many people think, is a woman who has had sex. But when you get to chapter 8, we're going to find out that this was Isaiah's wife being spoken of. When you read it, I'll just give you what's there. When you get to Isaiah 1, it tells you about a child. When you get to Isaiah 8:3, it's going to name Isaac's wife. She was a prophetess. This was the virgin they were speaking of. But you got to remember, they're going to talk about two different names of two different children. So when you look at it, I have them all. I just didn't want to go through them all, but I will go through them all, because if not, I'll be confusing people. When you go to Isaiah 8, verse 1, you get the first name, and I tried to pronounce him. Okay, it's Mahershal Allah Hashabaz. That is the son that is being spoken of that Isaiah had. Then let's go to Isaiah 8, 1. All right, Isaiah 8, verse 3. It says, "And I went unto the prophetess, and she conceived and bare a son. Then said Yahuwah unto me, call his name Mahershal Allah Hashabaz. One was called," oh, that's the same name, I'm sorry. "But he called her a virgin." That's what's most important. They called her a virgin, and she had a son called Mahershal Allah Hashabaz. Okay, so, just remember that the child, the birth, that's all symbolism, because this woman was not a virgin. You will find that she had another child. You can go to Isaiah 7, verse 3, and it tells us, "Then said Yahuwah unto Isaiah, go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jazurb," these names, "thy son." So we're finding out in Isaiah 7:3 that he already had a son. But his wife, that was spoken of in 14, called the virgin, that she would conceive and have a son. And that was the son we read about in Isaiah 8, called Mahershal Hashabaz. So they called her a virgin, but she had already had a son, because we can read about that in Isaiah 7:3. And they called this woman a virgin. She was a prophetess. She was Isaiah's wife. So what's important, family, when you get the understanding, the word virgin does not mean a woman who never had sex. Understand that. Mary was called a virgin, but it still ties up the same prophecy, because we linked up the prophecy of Isaiah 7:14, which was mentioned to us, speaking of this virgin going to have a son, speaking of the prophecy that was told by the prophets. But we read about it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 33, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son." Same thing spoken. And his name would be called Emmanuel, okay, which is interpreted, Yahuwah with us. Now, we know that they use the word virgin. We know that it does not mean, like most people think, a virgin. That's not what it's talking about. Yahuwah says he will give Isaiah a sign in Isaiah 7:14. Now, this is the same prophet that was spoken of in the book of Matthew. And this was spoken, keep in mind, during the time people would think that we're speaking about a virgin birth. So this has something to do with this. So you know that that was not a virgin birth that took place right there. Because when they're talking about what the world will say, this was a virgin birth, we're talking about the birth of Yahushua on this wise. But he's relating back to Isaiah 7:14, which talks about a virgin. So speaking of Isaiah, but also speaking, this is a sign, speaking to Isaiah of what's going to happen with his virgin, his prophetess wife, but she already had a son, and she was going to have another son. So we have to get that symbolism, that understanding, but just understand there was no virgin like what you think today, a woman who already had sex, you know, somebody having sex, or someone who didn't have sex. That's not what it's speaking of. Okay, so in Isaiah 8:18, I'm going to go there. It tells us, behold, I and the children whom Yahuwah hath given me are for signs and for wonders in Israel from the Most High of hosts, which dwelt in Mount Zion. This is in Isaiah 8, verse 18. This is letting you know that the child, the children, are going to be the signs for the people. Because during the time of Isaiah, it was something totally different that was going to take place. We were speaking about the kings being removed from Israel, both the northern and southern kingdom. But the child or the children, because we're still talking about this virgin that has a birth, we're talking about Mary, who the world calls Immaculate Conception, but she was just a young maiden or young woman ready for childbearing, an eligible woman for marriage. This virgin, okay, she was going to have a son as well. And when we go back to Isaiah 23, it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is the Father with us. That was the sign of the child. That's why it was important for them to put that precept going back to Isaiah and what happened to him. But this time around, it would be through a woman named Mary. She would have a husband, but the child would be a sign for Israel that the Father is with us. This is prophecy being fulfilled, family. This is prophecy being fulfilled. And I pray you guys understand that, okay? It had to be in there. Now, let me go a little bit further. Let's go to Matthew's, I'm going to read Matthew's 1:23 a little bit more because there was more I want to say in there. So it says, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, Yahuwah is with us. So this means that Yahushua was born, his birth, it was assigned to Israel. Now that the prophecy of waiting for the Redeemer, that the Father now has sent Yahushua and Yahuwah is with us. So this all had to be in order. This is future prophecy. The world will not ever tell you this. They will not link these verses up. They already messed up the books. They've done a lot to keep the truth from us. But Mary was not a woman who did not have sex. That's what it's to show you. Now, when you go, and it says, after the angel gave instruction to Joseph in the dream or the vision, Joseph's waking up. So it tells us. Now, this is the book of Matthew. So we're talking about Joseph. Not Mary in this one. It says that when this angel came, he gave Joseph the understanding. Verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Most High had bidden him and took unto him his wife. So then he did have the marriage ceremony, regardless of not having the tokens of virginity. He did do what he was supposed to do. He was a just man, okay? And let's go back just to remember in verse 20. When you go to verse 20 in Matthew 1, but while he thought, because Joseph was going to put her away, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Most High appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary for a wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the set apart spirit. So we understand that Joseph got the understanding. Okay, he got the understanding because that prophecy we just read in the book of Isaiah that links back our precept to and the understanding of the 23rd verse in Matthew 1. It's okay. Go ahead and take her. This is all ordained by the Most High. Okay? Because remember, he told him, fear not. Don't be afraid to marry her. Because Mary, getting pregnant, was ordained by Yahuwah and the fulfillment of prophecy. Okay? That was the sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. When we go to Matthew 24, it says, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel had bid him, and he took unto Mary his wife. So when Joseph woke up, he was no longer afraid, and he took Mary to wife. I mean, I'm reading this two or three times for you guys because I know what the world teaches, but I want you to see because of the prophecies and what was told to him by the angel. Remember, the angel went to Mary first in the book of Luke to prophesy of the dispensation of time of what was going to occur to her. She was settled in her mind with it, and she told the angel, do as thou, the Father has, you know, told you to do. Go ahead and do it. By the time we get to the book of Matthew, Mary's already pregnant. She has already had sex. Now, Joseph is afraid because the people, he didn't want to make Mary a public example. He knew it would happen. So when he was pondering on what to do with her, put her privately away or what, the angel reveals to him and lets him understand that prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Because they knew the scriptures, unlike many of us today. They knew them. So now since he's all right with what the angel has told him, and don't fear, go ahead and take her as your wife. Go through it, you know. We just have to understand, family. We got to leave all the nonsense and the mythologies out of our Father's word and read what it says with understanding, using the precepts, rightly dividing the word, understand what those English words are because they can trip us up, but understand the situation that was going on during this time. It tells us in verse 25. Okay, I'm going to read 24 again since I did a lot of talking. Then Joseph was being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Most High had bid him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Yahushua. Because remember, the angel had already told in the book of Luke, chapter 1, Mary, he's going to be named Yahushua. So this was already just prophecy happening. After he took Mary, his wife, okay, and that had occurred somewhere between after the angel had spoken to Mary in Luke 1, she was pregnant, but before they came together, before the wedding ceremony, they didn't have the token of virginity. Okay? It is told to us in Matthew chapter 1. So Joseph was worried about this, was thinking, shall I put her away privately? What should I do? What should I do? The angel appeared to him, gave him the prophecy, let him know what was going on. Let him know that set-apart thing, that's conceived by the set-apart spirit. That's ordained by the Father. You have prophecy getting ready to be fulfilled. He linked up Matthew 1:23 with the prophecy of a virgin having a son. That virgin is not like a woman who never had sex, but she is a woman of marriageable age. Linking it back up to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, and giving the understanding and the connection through the same things being said. And now they understand this is the sign you've been waiting for. So after all this, it says, he took Mary to wife after this. In verse 25, it says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Yahushua. Called his name Yahushua. Now many will say, see, if you think in virgin birth and you go back to and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, you would think, well, Joseph never had any part in it. But that's not what was said. Joseph understood that the child within Mary, because they had already had sex, was ordained by the Most High. He had got the prophecy. He understood everything. He left Mary alone, but he didn't have sex with her again till she brought forth Yahushua. See, family, all this, you must rightly divide the word, keeping everything in context of what we're reading, okay? Understanding the precepts and the spiritual understanding, we understand that the book of Luke should be first. The book of Matthew should be second. Why? Because in the book of Luke, prophecy was given to Mary. She was not yet pregnant yet. It was told to her what would happen to her in the dispensation of time. By the time you get to the book of Matthew, Mary was pregnant, but they hadn't gone to the wedding ceremony yet. The angel comforted Joseph, who was worried about this and trying to put her away, and told him, no, take her. This is all ordained. This is all ordained. So he took Mary to wife. He took Mary to wife. Okay. But let me see. I want to go some other places with this. I want to take you guys to, and I know somebody's going to ask about it, so I'm going to take you guys there. Let's go to Luke 3, and we're almost done because I see my numbers are starting to drop. I know it's getting late, family, but look, I've been here all day for many days, so I know y'all could stretch with me just a little bit longer, but we got to get this out, and I don't want to have another lesson. I only got a few more minutes anyhow. Go to Luke 3. Luke 3, because somebody asked me this, I believe, last week. So I'm just going to set it straight, and I'm going to talk about it. In Luke 3, verse 23, okay, it reads, and, you know, it says, and Yahushua himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, when we have the understanding that, oh, it's a virginity birth, well, as supposed sound like, you know, yeah, he was supposed to be. He's really the stepfather of Yahushua. That's what many have thought. But family, we're going to go somewhere. I want you guys to first listen to this. I think you guys are going to really appreciate this one. I'm going to give this first, and then I'm going to explain. Because as supposed is in parentheses. So that means that something's up. Some people would tell you, no, that was put in there to fool people. You know, I thought that too. But there's things to the English language. I mean, they wrote our Hebrew history manuscripts. You know, they wrote it in English. So we have to understand their writing and what that writing really means. I'm trying to look for it real quick. I tell you, I had all this set up, but I had to refresh my page so many times and it jumped on me. Let me get it in here. Let me find it. This is a real short one, but it's like a minute long. But it's going to give you an understanding of why they put that in there. Give me a second. I do apologize. I know normally I don't do my lessons like this, but I've just been having too many problems with the Internet. I've been getting zapped and booped and everything else. So I'm trying to, here it is. It's only 57 seconds. So I'm trying to do it in a way that you guys get the understanding on everything, because somebody will ask this question and you need to know what to tell them when, especially someone who is one of the lost sheep in Christianity, especially those people, because when you read Luke 3, verse 23, it says, and Yahushua began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. They say, see, he wasn't really Joseph's son. Now, it's in parentheses, as was supposed. Let's go look at about this parentheses.
This is from a grammar website called WritingSimplified.com. The topic is how and when to use parentheses. Right here it says, use parentheses to enclose supplemental information. Now watch this. It says, this supplemental information includes asides, tangents, and afterthoughts. Now pay close attention to this part. It says, in general, anything that can be removed from the sentence without altering its meaning can be enclosed in parentheses. In other words, if you read a sentence that has parentheses in it, you can remove the information inside the parentheses without the meaning of the sentence changing.
All right, I want you to hear that. So basically, what they're saying was you could take the parentheses off, but it's not going to change the meaning of what is being said. So if we had to take it off, it tells us, and Yahushua himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed, because the people understood, being as supposed, the son of Joseph. Now, many people will say, well, there's a lot of breakdown to that. As a matter of fact, I just might have another lesson because I really want to get into this one with you, and I know I'm out of time here. So what I'm going to do, family, I'm going to have to drop it right here, and I'll pick back up on it at this spot. and really break it down and give you more examples of where this stuff is done in the scriptures. It's like if you don't read and study to show yourself approved, all these little things make it appear that what the liars are telling you is truth, that this angel came and impregnated Mary, and she's Immaculate Conception, the virgin birth. They got you worshiping their deity still. It's all messed up. I'm going to stop it right here. If anybody wants to say anything, raise your hand right now. Push the number one button. We only have about 7 minutes. I know I don't have time to really get into this. But I want you guys to hear that because that was the one verse I believe. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't had too much time to go back through my last lesson. But this is one of the verses that stumble people because everywhere else, with the understanding that if you think like the world tells you that, hey, it was a virgin birth, Joseph's not the father. Even though we went through, for the last two shows, we went through a lot of information. And it nowhere shows you where Joseph was not the father. Prophecy was fulfilled, both on Joseph and Mary's side. Joseph was the father. There's places in the scripture we just read, Matthew 1:1, and it was telling us that he was the son of Joseph, the son of Abraham. Paul never writes about a virgin birth. Actually, everything Paul writes speaks of Yahushua coming from the Father into an earthly body. And it's like we've forgotten the main principles. The principle, if you don't think I operate out the Spirit, you think that, well, when we talk about preparation, I remember I spoke to people, and I was reading where Yahushua said that in 3 days he's going to raise these stones. He'll raise his temple. And everybody didn't get it, and they were talking about they were just talking about buildings. I'm like, no, don't you understand? Yahushua was speaking spirit. He was talking about his body would be raised. So we had to go through the understanding of our bodies are nothing but vessels. But what is indwelling in our body is what's important. The Yahushua said, take off the old man, put on the new man. Get off the flesh, get out the flesh, and start operating out the spirit. Yahushua told us that, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. See, this what separates us from all the other Gentiles. This is something they don't have. This gives the understanding that Yahuwah is only gathering his people back up. Not every nation underneath the ground, on the ground, in the earth, underneath the earth, wherever they're at. He's not gathering them. That word Gentile, sojourner, stranger, don't let that fool you. Jeremiah 16:19, and then grafting in, and look, the people who are coming from all the ends of the earth, those are the Most High's people who were already prophesied to be scattered there. A lot of these verses are screwing people up. I don't see how, but I do, because they're not operating out the Spirit. I'm going to leave it at that. All you have to do is use proper precepts, read, study, show yourself approved, ask the Father to give the increase, but understand that his word will not come back void. It doesn't change. He allowed us to know there ain't nothing new. So if you can't see a woman here telling you today that she was impregnated by an angel, it didn't happen in the book of Matthew or Luke. But there is a understanding with the proper precepts and understanding our history that will confirm the truth. We're supposed to know the truth because that's what's going to set us free, not all these lies. These lies get us into other lies and doing things that are against us. I'm going to leave it there, family, but I will do another lesson. I'm going to try to do it before our next Shabbat. I might have it tomorrow. I'm going to see what my daughter's schedule is like because I just want to pick back up right there and go over it. I really had planned on doing this lesson in 2 hours, but I'm kind of long-winded, and I'm trying to hit every point. I'm trying to make people think. You know, that's something that looks like we ain't been doing too much of lately. And I don't know, to me a lot of this stuff just comes, you know, it's obvious. But I know that, I don't know where, our people have been under so many misguided religions and even people, teachers, some Hebrew teachers. So I got to tear through a bunch of those lies, and I'm trying to watch the way I say things and my words and break down the words. And I get kind of long with it. And sometimes I even stumble my own mouth up. So at some point, I got to stop myself, break, and just continue letting the Father flow, doing what he tells me to do, allowing the Ruach to flow, and then I notice that my words come out a little bit clearer to you guys. So I do apologize, but I will pick back up. I will pick back up as soon as I can. I'm going to try for tomorrow, okay, because I want to make sure you're getting it all. Understand Joseph was the father of Yahushua. With that, family, I'm just going to say shalom. We're getting ready to get cut off anyhow. So I'm going to try to do it for tomorrow. Shalom, shalom, shalom.